This message comes from On Point sponsor Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield approval. If you qualify and if rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. To learn more, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. For those of us who were teenagers during the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas hearings a generation ago, that moment felt big. No matter your opinions about Hill or Thomas themselves, the fact that the nation was talking about sexual harassment left a lasting impression and taught lasting lessons. Imagine then what today's teenagers are thinking and feeling, watching the nation deal with sexual assault allegations and the Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination. This time, adults are making judgments about teen behavior, about high school norms, about what's acceptable and what's not. As one teen said, their past is our now. So this hour On Point, we're going to hear from a roundtable of teenagers on the lessons they're learning from the Kavanaugh hearings. You can join us. Teens, how do you think Washington is handling this moment? What lessons are you learning? And adults, what kinds of conversations are you having with the teens in your life? What are we collectively teaching young people, purposely or even inadvertently, with these hearings? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We've got a terrific panel of teenagers from around the country to discuss this with us today. And joining me first from Boise, Idaho, is Layla Bagwell. She's a 15-year-old sophomore at Riverstone International School, and she's the co-author of an open letter posted on change.org, the website, and the letter's titled, "We Are 15-Year-Old Girls. We Are With You, Christine Blasey Ford." It's got more than 70,000 signatures on it. Layla Bagwell, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thank you.
It's really great to have you. Also with us today from Philadelphia is Anjali Burdia. She's a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania. She graduated from Holton Arms School in Bethesda, Maryland. It's the same all-girls private high school that Christine Blasey Ford attended. Anjali, welcome to you.
Hi, Meghna.
It's really great to have you. And here with me in the studio is Jack Torres. He's a 16-year-old junior at Somerville High School in Somerville, Massachusetts. He walked out of class on Monday to show his support for Professor Ford. Jack Torres, welcome to you.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So, you know, today I just want to feel free to talk amongst yourselves, guys, because I just want to really have a conversation about what you're thinking, what you're seeing, what you're learning from this moment. But just to sort of get things started, Layla, let me just start with you. When the first allegations came out from Professor Ford, I mean, was it something that you and your friends immediately started talking about? What was the reaction at first?
I think that it wasn't nearly as talked about as it should be. And so that's what inspired me and my coworkers to write the letter, is because we wanted people our age and 15-year-old girls to be able to know about this and be as passionate about it as we were.
And so, Anjali, was it, I mean, you went to the school that that Professor Ford did. Was it something that you guys started talking about immediately?
Yeah, I definitely think that as soon as the allegations really started coming out, at first I didn't realize that it was a Holton alum, but then the Holton alumni pages started lighting up, and my friends who are also from the area started talking to me about the issue.
Okay, and what were they saying?
I think that the first reaction is that it's pretty crazy that it's, like, my school is so involved and Georgetown Prep is so involved, especially because, like, I have a lot of friends who went to Prep. And I think it's really admirable how much the Holton community immediately stood behind Christine Blasey Ford.
Okay. Jack Torres, I mean, what about you?
The school did not start talking about it immediately. I mean, most people didn't even know who Kavanaugh was or that there was an open seat on the Supreme Court. But then as it, you know, started headlining more and more often and people started posting about it, especially the more activist students in our school, people started talking about it more definitely.
Okay. And so what's the nature of those conversations? I mean, what are people saying?
I think people are talking about how, one, what you do in high school affects the rest of your life, and two, the way that people are perceiving high school students on a national level and the way that the GOP Senate is talking about us in this very condescending way, and that's been unappreciated by my school.
Talk to me more about that. What do you mean?
They've been saying stuff about how, you know, high schoolers don't know anything about consent and just kind of referring to us as if we're, like, ignorant and that we don't know what we're talking about, but almost every high schooler I know knows the difference between what Kavanaugh did and a healthy relationship. And so the fact that people have sort of been pretending like that's not true has been offensive to a lot of the high schoolers in my school, definitely.
So let me just jump in here. I'm going to have to continuously say what he is alleged to have done.
What he is alleged to
What Professor Ford is claiming that he's done. I mean, Layla Bagwell, tell me more about that. I mean, part of the reason why I really wanted to hear from the three of you is, you know, we do have adults across the nation, but particularly in Washington, really sort of passing judgment on teen life, or at least as they saw it back in the 80s. I mean, do you think that the kinds of things that they're saying about teenagers ring true? True to you?
I think we youth don't really have a say in our safety, and we're trusting adults to make the right decisions for us, and they're really failing us in that. And our perspective is just so overlooked when it affects us a lot. It really does, especially with this, because she was 15 at the time of the allegations. That's happening to our girls now.
Mm. Well, so why did you decide to write this letter, by the way? I should just remind folks that the letter that you wrote is titled, "We Are 15-Year-Old Girls, We Are With You, Christine Blasey Ford." I mean, why did you decide to write it?
When we heard about the allegations, we felt really passionate about it because, again, we are 15, and it was something so personal to us. So we wrote the letter because we wanted this perspective, because the way that people were treating this trial and the allegations was very... They were overlooking that she had humanity and she was a person. We just felt that empathy for her, and we wanted to pass that on to adults and other teenagers and everyone.
Yeah. Jack, you're shaking your head. You're nodding your head yes.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think it's an awesome letter, and I think that was an awesome idea. And we're glad to support Christine Blasey Ford with you.
Okay. Anjali Burdia, I mean, you went to Holton Arms very recently, and obviously Professor Ford went there a generation ago. But, I mean, I'm not going to compare what the culture in those schools is like now to what it was in the 80s, but I suppose people might want to know, like, is what was claimed to have happened, you know, in the early 80s there, did that even ring as plausible to you? I mean, what's the culture like now?
So I think that one of the reasons the issue with or the accusation against Kavanaugh was so important and pointed was because I personally can see something like this happening in the D.C. area again to this day and age. And I think that is partly due to a lot of reasons. One of the it's important to understand the dynamics of single-sex schools in the D.C. area, especially single-sex private schools, to really understand the accusations, I think. Like, part of those factors include going to a single-sex school means that you're not surrounded by people of the other gender all the time, which means that the only time that you really see boys or girls is on the weekend when you go out. And I think that that culture in a lot of ways perpetrates hookup culture, because if you're not seeing these people every day, then you can get away with more and you don't have as much respect for them. And you don't really know them as people, but instead you don't really know them as an individual, but instead just as a person that you met, like, in a basement somewhere.
Uh-huh.
In a lot of ways, I do think that something like this could happen today, and I'm not surprised that I'm not surprised by the allegation that it happened decades ago.
Okay.
Because I think that culture and the way that single-sex schools have mixed through, like, for decades, like, rings true.
Yeah.
And, like, has remained the same.
Well, Layla Bagwell, you're in Boise. I mean, Anjali is just talking to us about single-sex schools. I don't know, is your school single-sex or is it co-ed?
It's co-ed.
It's co-ed. Okay, so, I mean, tell us a little bit about, I mean, if you can, sort of what the social culture is like there.
The social culture is very focused on gender roles, which is something that really it supports sexual assault, and it makes our culture so much worse when it comes to rape culture, and it's just something that it's really hard to avoid, but it's something that we should be trying and focusing to stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I just want to read a comment to you, Layla, that we got on our website. It's from someone called Honest Debate 2. And this person says, quit traumatizing these poor high school girls by turning them into inevitable victims. Empower them instead. This effort to paint males as predators and females as pure is simply insane. What's your response to that person?
The letter empowered me and my two coworkers so much that comment is just so, I don't know, I can't, it's just, that was so empowering, and to be able to have that voice is more empowering than anything. And so we're not painting men as predators. This is who they are. And fun for boys should never be exploitation for girls. And so, well, fun. And...
Well... Layla, so let me just turn to Jack here for a second. This commenter seems to think that discussions around men and women in the context of the Kavanaugh hearings is painting all men in a certain way and all women in a certain way. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, of course, I don't think it's fair to generalize in such a broad way. And I don't think that person really understands why the letter was written and how it empowered students and how it made students feel, because I think that it allowed them to have a voice about an issue that directly impacts them. And so I think that the person who wrote that comment was clearly ignorant about that fact. And I think that they did make an overgeneralization about what those students were trying to do who wrote the letter. But I do think that in a lot of circumstances, guys could be doing a lot more, not only to not be predators, but to stop their friends from getting hurt by other guys, yeah, or to stop their guys from hurting other girls.
I mean, you're a very proactive young person on these issues. So, I mean, I'm just wondering, do you and your male friends have conversations about like how to become, you know, more proactive in stopping behaviors?
Definitely. I mean, I think it really started with the Me Too movement picking up. A lot of guys in my school started to realize how prevalent sexual assault and harassment was. And so we started to have those conversations.
Well, we're talking with a roundtable of teens from around the country today about what they're thinking and learning and observing as the nation grapples with the Kavanaugh hearings and sexual assault allegations. You just heard Jack Torres. He's a 16-year-old junior at Somerville High School in Somerville, Massachusetts. We're also joined by Anjali Birdia. She's a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania. And Layla Bagwell, she's joining us from Boise, Idaho. She's a 15-year-old sophomore at Riverstone International School in Boise. Are you having conversations with your teens about this moment? What do you think they're learning? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
This message comes from On Point sponsor Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing their all-new Rate Shield approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Quicken Loans will lock your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. States and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We do long-form interviews with the people behind the best books, pop culture, journalism, and more, so you can get to know the people whose work you love. You'll find Fresh Air on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking with teenagers today about what they make and what they're learning from this moment as Washington and America is struggling with the sexual assault allegations made against Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the implication of those allegations, and what it says about teenage culture both in the 1980s and now, and what lessons we all ought to be learning. I'm joined today by a great panel of young people. Layla Bagwell is with us from Boise, Idaho. She's a 15-year-old sophomore in Boise. Anjali Birdia joins us from Philadelphia. She's a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania and also graduated from the same high school that Christine Blasey Ford did. Jack Torres is with us. He's a 16-year-old junior at Somerville High School in Somerville, Massachusetts. Now, the three of you, I want to play a couple of bits of tape here from, you know, what we've been hearing in the media from adults about what can be forgiven, what's understandable in terms of teenage behavior in high school. First of all, this is from Judge Brett Kavanaugh himself. He gave an interview with Fox News on Monday, and he's responding to the allegations made by Christine Blasey Ford. And again, Brett Kavanaugh was 17 years old at Georgetown Prep High School when the alleged incidents were said to have occurred. So here's Judge Kavanaugh.
Yes, there were parties, and the drinking age was 18, and yes, the seniors were legal and had beer there. And yes, people might have had too many beers on occasion, and people generally in high school, I think all of us have probably done things we look back on in high school and regret.
Well, last week on CNN, a focus group of female Republican voters in Florida was featured, and one of those women said that Judge Kavanaugh's alleged behavior in high school wasn't that unusual.
We're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school. Please, I would like to know.
Jack Torres, let me start with you. When you hear those things, what do you think?
Well, first of all, not all high school boys have done that. That's a ridiculous generalization and accusation of high school boys in America. Second of all, even if that was true, that does not make it okay. Just because that might have been common at that time or it might have happened to lots of people, that doesn't mean it's justified. It's still an awful thing that could have hurt somebody. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, though, some of your friends right now hearing these things, not just from a focus group voter, but we're also hearing similar lines of logic from members of Congress, hearing these things and thinking, well, okay, I might be getting a message from school and all these, sexual assault workshops that say one thing, but in reality, 30 years from now, people are going to be like, it's okay, you were in high school.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that's really dangerous about how we respond to these allegations is if we if it comes out that these are true and he's put on the Supreme Court, what does that say to our high school boys now? That it's okay to hurt people, that it's okay to ignore when people say no, that it's okay to commit sexual assault. I think that that's really dangerous for our culture. And I don't know how that would make a high school girl feel, if that would make them feel safe.
Mm. Anjali Burdia, what do you think about that? I mean, look, we're in this day and age, we do already put enormous amount of responsibility on teenagers' shoulders to be responsible for their behavior, as we should. But are there mixed signals being generated here?
I think there are absolutely mixed signals being generated. And I think that line of logic that it's like that every single teenage boy has done that is, first of all, absolutely untrue. I can say that I personally knew several 17-year-old boys who went to Georgetown Prep who would like have never done what Kavanaugh is accused of. And so in terms of her saying name a few, I think I could name a bunch. I also think that like that line of logic completely neglects sexual assault victims of today, tomorrow, and like yesterday, because that's saying that it's okay for boys to do that. That boys do that all the time, and it's not okay for boys to do that. And it's not okay for anyone to do that. And just the logic of boys will be boys and they were young, drunk, and confused doesn't justify sexual assault. Like there's being drunk and confused and there's sexual assault, and those are two different things.
Yeah. Layla Bagwell, I mean, I'm going to ask the same question I ask of Anjali. Are young people getting mixed signals from our nation's leaders right now?
I think that there is some obvious sexism in that, as we tell boys that we're telling Judge Kavanaugh that his mistakes, his actions were in high school, they don't matter anymore. But yet we're telling teenagers that they need to be responsible for their actions. And it's just awful how adults get to pick and choose what we're responsible for.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Like, adultism is very real, as in we overlook the youth perspective and we don't really empathize with them. And that is a perspective that really needs to be seen. And that's why I'm glad I'm doing this, is the youth perspective needs to be considered more. And I think we could have a lot more well-rounded conversations about this if we really included the youth perspective.
Yeah. We're talking with a terrific roundtable of teens about what they make of this moment regarding the Kavanaugh nomination and sexual assault allegations, and how we as a nation, our nation's leaders are handling it, and what lessons they're drawing from this moment. Let's go to Stephanie, who's calling from Dayton, Ohio. You're on the air, Stephanie.
Hi, Magna. I just want to say to the young ladies and to the young man, thank you so much for doing this, for speaking out, especially that letter. It brought me to tears when I read it. It really moved me. And if I had been that brave in high school, who knows where I'd be now. My comment was that when I was in high school and college in the late 90s, early 2000s, I had very similar experiences. And to be completely honest, it wasn't until later into my late 20s, early 30s, I'm 34 now, that I realized I'd been assaulted, because I thought that they were just normal experiences because that's what I had been taught. That's what I had been told. You know, you step onto a college campus and you're taught how to put your keys in between your fingers when you're walking around. And I had to have a male friend walk me from my chemistry lab across campus. And all of the comments that are coming from, you know, folks who were saying, oh, well, you know, it's just normal. What high school boy hasn't done this? Like you were talking about before, it just perpetuates that idea. And there are a lot of women, I think, who have woken up in the last couple months to realize I was assaulted. And so, yes, it may take 35 years to come forward because we never talk about it. We continue this belief that it's just normal behavior. Mm-hmm. And to everyone saying, well, no man then is ever going to be able to run for office, that's fine. We've got plenty of women who can step up to the plate.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Reggie, who's calling from Oskaloosa, Iowa. You're on the air, Reggie.
Hi, Magna. I got a couple of things. I've got a 19-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son. And my son 2 years ago was falsely accused of sexual harassment because someone overheard two words out of a conversation. And he almost got kicked out of the military for that. And, you know, they talk about the boys being drunk. Well, the girls have also said they were drunk. So what if they're just not remembering everything properly? Or has anybody even considered the fact that maybe they're lying and they have an agenda?
Reggie?
You know, everybody's like, well, what if you did it? Well, what if they did something? And, you know, the men are automatically assumed guilty and the women are automatically assumed virtuous. And that's not always the case.
Reggie, thank you for your call. Anjali Birdia, let me go to you. How would you like to respond to Reggie there?
I first of all think that, like, in terms of sexual assault, in general, men can be victims of the whole situation too, and I recognize that. At the same time, in this particular case, because Christine Blasey Ford is a Holton alum, I feel as if I believe her story completely because of the school that I went to and the way that we were taught about women and standing with women and standing up for women, that I don't believe that a woman who went to Holton Arms School would lie about sexual assault because that hurts the credibility of women everywhere. I also think that in general, it's important to have doubts about anything you hear, but I think that in terms of sexual assault, it's important to most of the time immediately take the side of the victim, because not taking the side of the victim means neglecting their story. And if they were sexually assaulted, then that is justifies the fact that that boys or girls can do whatever they want. Yeah. And so I think that it's important to generally take the side of the person who claims that they were being sexually assaulted, and in the case of a Holton Arms alum, to most definitely take her side. Yeah. Because not only does Holton teach values of integrity and honesty, but also it ingrains within us this desire to help other women and believe in other women. And I don't believe that someone who went to Holton Arms would lie about sexual assault, because that would mean hurting the credibility of victims and women everywhere.
Yeah. So Jack Torres, let me turn to you. And speaking frankly, I think the caller brought up something which a lot of people wonder about, but it's a hard conversation to have. I mean, he was talking about how one of his sons was falsely accused of harassment because of a couple of words that were overheard. And then he's layering in this question of alcohol as well. I mean, you're a 16-year-old young man. Does any part of you worry that sometime in the future, someone might come forward and make an allegation against you about something that maybe was, you know, that they're potentially misinterpreting, or an action that you didn't necessarily think was, harassment or assault at the time, or maybe even that memories are cloudy because of alcohol. Do you worry about that at all?
Here's the thing. I am confident, or at least hopeful, that if I was ever accused of such a thing and I had not done it, which I would never do something like that, there would be a full investigation. And I think that that's something that's really important that's not happening now, is that this allegation needs to be investigated to the full extent of law enforcement. And if Kavanaugh is innocent, then he should support that, because it would reveal that it is a false accusation.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate your answer on that, because you get what I mean. Like, what I'm hearing from a lot of from some, particularly parents, I guess, who are more free to express their concern than young people. But they are worried that their sons especially might end up facing an allegation in the future that seemingly comes out of the blue. I mean, again, the specificity with which Professor Ford is making her allegations and the call for an investigation, you know, is one thing. It sort of puts it in its own category. But, you know, the caller talked about his son being, you know, in the military and almost losing his spot there because of a couple of words that he might have said.
Yeah. And I think that another thing that needs to be changed is the way we teach sex education, and specifically about consent, because a lot of the time in sex ed classes, people are taught how to say no, especially for the girl. The girls are taught how to say no, but no one's ever taught how to say yes, what saying yes looks like, and the difference between saying no and saying yes on the guy's side. So for some reason, it's always put on the girl to answer the question, whereas a lot of times it should be on the guy to understand, like, to read into the situation a little bit deeper and to see, is this the right thing to do or is it not? And they should be taught the difference between, a healthy relationship and assault. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that. So I think that if people really want to make the world safer for both their daughters and for their sons in terms of accusations, then people need to have a better understanding about what consent is, means, and looks like.
Yeah. I want to bring in one more voice into this conversation, actually. Joining us also from Philadelphia is Deborah Hauser. She's president of Advocates for Youth, a nonprofit that develops programs, learning materials, and curricula for schools on youth sexuality and reproductive health. Deborah Hauser, welcome to you.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate your patience here. It's just that Layla, Anjali, and Jack are giving us a lot of food for thought here. I mean, react to what you've heard so far. What are you hearing in the voices of these young people?
Oh, sanity. I think the three young folks are just really brilliant and doing an amazing job. And it's what we see with young people across the country. Young people are, by and large, taking responsibility for their actions. It's honestly the adults that are abrogating their responsibility. We're just not doing right by them. Jack just talked about sex education. It's case in point, one of the most important things we can do, parental, parent-child communication and sex education. Talking about issues of sex and sexuality and gender and how you treat each other is just at the very crux of this issue.
Okay. And so, I mean, when you say that adults aren't doing right by young people, what more should we be doing?
Yeah, I think this conversation, it makes people feel awkward, right? And so when it comes to a case like this one, it comes to the National Four, it becomes part of the dialogue. But by and large, to talk to young people before they become sexually active about what it means to express mutual consent, to have a say over your own body, to be able to express both desires and boundaries, what consent actually is, the fact that you can't really consent if you're using alcohol or drugs or are somehow otherwise incapacitated. We just don't do a good job. So sex education in the country, while better in some places, is much worse in others. Hmm. Abstinence only until marriage education is back. And so it's, again, this place where we're telling girls that they're the gatekeepers and that they have to keep their legs closed and they're responsible for what other people do. And boys, that boys will be boys. That's what we're hearing. And yet what they're telling us is what you just heard. That no, in fact, they want to be responsible. They want to be treated like adults. They want to be heard. And they have a lot of the answers.
Mm. I have a question. I mean, we just got a minute to go before the break, Deborah. So if you can't get to the full answer by the time we wrap up, I'll come back to you. But suddenly it occurred to me that, you know, for some of the lawmakers that we hear in Washington who were talking about, like, this was allegedly happened in high school, boys will be boys, et cetera, all that language, is there not even the tiniest bit of overlap between that and, say, movements we've seen in juvenile justice? You know, we've been hearing experts in law and justice saying, well, the teenage brain is still developing. There's not very much impulse control. So when we think about sentencing for young people, we ought to take all those things into account. It's the same sort of forgiveness for the fact of the teenage brain. Is there not even a little bit of overlap there?
I think people have used parallel arguments, but I do think what we know about brain development is that young people need to have age-appropriate opportunities to make decisions. And that's how they develop good decision-making powers.
Well, sorry, Deborah, there, but I just have to quickly remind folks that we're talking about how teenagers and young people are looking at this moment regarding the sexual assault allegations made by Christine Ford against Brett Kavanaugh, what lessons they're learning, how they're reacting to it. I'm speaking with Deborah Hauser, Anjali Birdia, and Layla Bagwell, and Jack Torres. We'll be right back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
This message comes from NPR's sponsor, Indeed. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need help getting to your short list of qualified candidates fast. With Indeed, post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates. And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free when you sign up at Indeed.com/NPR podcast. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, and on the latest episode of How I Built This, how Stuart Butterfield failed in two companies, pivoted, and then built two amazing new companies, Flickr and Slack. Check out How I Built This wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking today about how teenagers are viewing this moment with the Kavanaugh sexual assault allegations and what lessons we as a nation are imparting to them, whether purposefully or not. I'm joined today from Boise, Idaho by Layla Bagwell. She's a 15-year-old sophomore at Riverstone International School in Boise. From Philadelphia by Anjali Birdia. She's a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania, but she graduated from Holton Arms School in Bethesda, Maryland. That's the same school that Christine Blasey Ford attended. Also with us today in the On Point studio is Jack Torres. He's a 16-year-old junior at Somerville High School in Somerville, Massachusetts. And with us in addition in Philadelphia is Deborah Hauser. She's president of Advocates for Youth, a nonprofit that develops programs and curricula on youth sexuality and reproductive health. And we've got a lot of callers who want to join us. Let's go to Kathleen, who's calling from Dayton, Ohio. You're on the air, Kathleen.
Hi. I thought your earlier caller, Stephanie, nailed it when she talked about how common this kind of abuse is. But I want to ask your guest, are they alarmed by how relaxed our leaders and others seem to be about the alcohol culture, how prevalent it is in high school and elsewhere? And then I raised three daughters, and they're now 41, 38, and 31. And we had lots of talks about these sort of issues when they were growing up, and I talked to lots of their friends as well. And I want to ask your guest, how common do they think it is for senior boys to target freshman young women, girls, to try to have sex with them? I heard that a lot. That it was actually common. And then three, I spent a year with other parents trying to get rid of an athletic director, which we did, after I found out there was this history of verbal and it turned out to be physical sexual abuse of students. When I went around and asked the students why they hadn't reported this abuse, they said that they thought nothing would be done if they reported it. I heard this over and over again. We finally did get rid of that athletic director.
Yeah. Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. Layla Bagwell, let me turn to you, and we'll just at least get to one of Kathleen's points or questions about, are you alarmed or how do you feel about what Kathleen sees as a relaxed attitude coming from Washington about teens and alcohol and that aspect of this story?
I think that when you are intoxicated, you cannot give full enthusiastic consent. And the idea of enthusiastic consent is something that's not talked about nearly enough, and how it shouldn't be dubious, and it should be, you should be really willing to have consent. Mm. And yeah, the alcohol epidemic in teenagers is very scary, but it's even more scary when it comes to sexual assault, because it's very, it's not an excuse for sexual assaulters, but you cannot have consent if you're intoxicated.
So Leila, when you say enthusiastic consent, maybe there are folks listening who aren't familiar with that term. I mean, what is meant by enthusiastic consent?
Enthusiastic consent is just the very, it's not just body language, it's verbal. You are telling this person that you would like to be intimate with them, and it's just, it's not dubious, and there shouldn't be any guessing, and no means no, yes means yes. Mm.
Deborah Hauser, I mean, is it, we're going into the realm now of very intimate human reaction, human interactions. Is it possible to really expect two people to communicate clearly enough such that there's absolutely no room for confusion?
I think it's necessary. One of the things that I think we as a society are conflicted about is young people and sex and sexuality. We give them the message that it's something that they have to control and it's outside themselves, not that they have agency over it. And in fact, good sex education, good parental parent-child communication would instill the fact that you have control over your sex and sexuality. And so you can say yes as much as you can say no. And because we emphasize just the no, it makes it very hard for young people to learn the skills, the communication, the language to enthusiastically consent to something. They feel like that they don't have the right to do that, when in fact they absolutely do.
Well, let's go to Carolyn, who's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air, Carolyn.
Yes, hi. So I wanted to talk about the role of parents in this whole thing. And first of all, I want to commend your guests. I wish they could sit in front of the Senate committee and explain to these folks really what's going on and what should be happening. But in terms of raising boys, I have a 33-year-old and a 29-year-old, and I have an 18-year-old daughter. And when I spoke with my sons about their own sexuality and their own needs, I held them responsible for their own needs, and that girls and women, young women, were not responsible to take care of that for them. And I think it was quite clear, because these were not daily conversations but regular conversations about their own sexuality and what they can expect for themselves and how they can respect young women. Mm-hmm. When it comes to raising a daughter, it seems as though the pressure is so much more on them. And I just want to say that for parents, you got to get over your discomfort and have these important conversations with your sons, and then also have these important conversations with your daughters, so that each of them understands that they have a say, and that they can say the right thing, and they can say what's best, not only for themselves, but for their partners.
Carolyn, thank you for your call. Jack Torres, let me turn to you. I mean, I guess I'm curious about if you're having conversations with your parents, your family.
I mean, I know my mom has always told me, you know, be nice to girls, like, you know, someday one of them will be president and you don't want to have been mean to her, and other things like that. Just always be respectful of the people in your life, especially when there's, you know, in many of these allegations, there's an instance of a power dynamic, especially in high school. This is true if you're talking about somebody who's maybe, you know, sort of stereotypical example, like a quarterback on a football team or something like that, somebody who has some type of societal rank within a high school hierarchy. Like you, somebody mentioned before about seniors and freshmen. I think that that's pretty common. And so I think that it's really important that parents talk to their kids about the different scenarios in which consent looks different.
Yeah.
When, you know, alcohol is involved and you can't consent. A lot of people didn't know that before this Me Too movement really picked up. And then people started having more conversations about the circumstances where consent looks different. And I think that that's really important for parents to talk to with their kids, especially when we don't have a comprehensive sex education curriculum that covers that.
Deborah Hauser, give us some pointers. How should parents even begin this conversation if they're not lucky enough to have a teen like one of the three we've got here who might start the conversation themselves?
Yeah, this is such an teachable moment. You know, just take advantage of the moment. It's in the news. It's there every day. It's on the paper, the newspaper that's sitting, if you still got a paper, on your kitchen table. So use the moment to ask your kids, what do they think about this? It's really important to become an askable parent. And part of that is listening. So ask them what they think. What do they think about each person's position? How does it relate to them? And then you can infuse some of your own messages there. But the most important thing is to tell them that you're there for them, that you'll hear them, that you'll listen to them, that you'll believe them. And then I love what Jack was saying. Just instill this idea, independent if it's a boy or a girl, that we must respect each other. We must listen to each other, and that everybody has the right both to say yes and to say no.
Mm. Layla Bagwell, I'm curious. I mean, Deborah and Jack are absolutely right about this being a teachable moment amongst families. But what about in school? Have any teachers brought it up in class?
No, and if it is brought up, it's by students, and it's very frequently dismissed. And because we're seen as youth as too naive and too young to understand, and sexual assault and even just sexual education it's not talked about. And if it is, it's just adults talking at us rather than with us or even about us.
So is on top of that, is there a concern that this is also too political, right? Because it seems that as if one easy, I'll say even like facile and not very sophisticated way of drawing lines here is just along party lines.
Yeah, for sure. I think that politics even are just, they're not talking about it because we are, again, we're too young. We can't vote. So that usually in adults' brains means that we're too young to talk about it or too young to understand about it, because it affects us almost the most because we don't have a say in it. And yet we're just powerless.
Yeah. Anjali Birdia, I mean, you're on campus now. You're a sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania. Is this being discussed in college lectures at all?
It hasn't been brought up in any college lectures. Okay. I also think that that would be pretty out of the ordinary for it to be brought up. But I've talked about this issue to many of my friends. And, I mean, it's interesting, especially to be at Penn, because there is some history of sexual assault. And I am actually old enough to vote. So I think that in a lot of ways, even though I am old enough to vote, I still am part of the population that is being overlooked and kind of neglected and looked down upon as kids, mm-hmm. which shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Well, Deborah, hang on here for a second because I want to get another caller in here. There's okay. So many. I'm going to leave a lot of people on the line unhappy. So let's go to Nancy, who's calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You're on the air, Nancy.
Hi, Meghna. I was calling because I wanted to make a point that I know was previously made, that children's frontal lobes are not fully developed until the mid-20s in some cases, and that I'd like to know who of us have not made stupid, impulsive mistakes when we were teenagers. I mean, I don't think any of us would have jobs if we were not allowed to be forgiven and learn from those mistakes.
Nancy, can I just ask you a quick question? Just a quick question, Nancy. But what sort of like what we everybody makes mistakes. That is a fact. But we're talking about a specific kind of mistake here, right? What Judge Kavanaugh is alleged to have done includes putting his hand allegedly over the mouth of a 15-year-old, turning music up so that her protest wouldn't be heard. I mean, that seems, again, these are allegations, but that seems like more than your run-of-the-mill teenage mistake.
Well, I know personally I have been sexually assaulted in both high school and by adult males, too. And so As an adult, I think it is completely unacceptable. And as a child, I think these kids need to be taught, absolutely. But he hasn't shown a pervasive habit for extending this behavior into adulthood. Mm. And hopefully he's learned from that. Mm. And I do not certainly condone any type of sexual assault or aggressive behavior towards women. But I think that we all need to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. Nancy, I'm going to just take it back from there because I want to give our panel a chance to respond. But thank you so much for your call. Deborah Hauser, let me turn that to you because actually I was going to get another caller earlier in the hour who was making a similar point here. And I think a lot of people are wondering, are we in an era now where the response to allegations, I mean, even putting Kavanaugh aside, the response to certain allegations for sexual assault or sexual harassment, they feel is so extreme that there's no opportunity for learning from these mistakes. Are you concerned about that?
It's a tough question. Listen, we have to believe survivors if we want them to come forward and speak out. And we know that so many of them don't feel comfortable. And it's because they'll be questioned and doubted. That is not to say that we don't need some sort of investigation. We absolutely do. And in fact, it's what Dr. Ford is calling for. There are consequences to actions. That's how people learn. That's how teens learn. And so it's not that we're saying that you make a mistake and it should just go away. One of the things that people learn from in life is taking an action and then having to deal with the consequences. Mm-hmm. It's also how the brain develops all its synapses to be able to make better decisions.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a matter of saying we're just going to sweep this under the rug. Mm-hmm. You can't just say boys are going to be boys or girls are going to be girls. You have to have some kind of accountability here.
Well,
and independent
ahead,
of how old you are. No, I just feel very strongly about this.
Okay.
I think it...
Okay. Well, you know, so we're just running fast out of time. This has been such an incredible conversation. But there's one more little piece of tape I want to play because, you know, we're having this conversation here on the radio. But so much of how people feel about this moment is driven by the voices we're hearing in Washington. So I just want to play this. This is Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii speaking out against Judge Kavanaugh last week she was just speaking last week.
Guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up.
Jack Torres, I wanted to ask you about that, because I actually think, no matter how you feel about this moment, that not just from Hirono, but from many people, the tone out of Washington isn't helping us have a thoughtful conversation about this. Do you find this helpful at all?
I actually think that statement is kind of rings true with me, because I think that survivors should be at the forefront of this conversation because it's about survivors. You know, me and my friends walked out, but we're not trying to steal the spotlight. We're just saying that we're in solidarity. You know, I think that a big piece of this goes back to education and how a lot of boys need to be educated about consent. But that doesn't mean that we need to be the ones making the decision. I think that it is really important that the people that are predominantly affected by sexual assault, especially who are mostly represented, who are women, and there's also lots of, you know, the LGBTQ community is plagued by sexual assault as well. I think it goes back to representation in Congress, both for women. I think there should be more women in Congress because when issues like this come up, men are the ones in leadership, and that doesn't work due to the nature of the allegations.
Mm. Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating hour, and I wish we could go on, but we can't. So let me just thank all of you. Jack Torres, 16-year-old junior at Somerville High School in Somerville, Massachusetts. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Magna.
And Anjali Burdia, a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Pennsylvania who also graduated from Holton Arms School in Bethesda, Maryland. Anjali, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Magna.
And Layla Bagwell, 15-year-old sophomore at Riverstone International School in Boise, Idaho. She co-authored a letter saying, "We are 15-year-old girls. We are with you, Christine Blasey Ford." There's a link to that at onpointradio.org. Layla, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And Deborah Hauser, president of Advocates for Youth. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Keep your comments coming at onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.